Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
What if they understood that the Son of God, who is there and able to cast out demons, who has the authority to heal the sick, what if they understood that Jesus was there in their midst? But you know what? It might cause too much change. So Jesus, you're not welcome. Stand with me. We're going to read a scripture together. I'm going to try to preach quickly. Can you listen quickly this morning?
Yes.
One passage. I'm titling this message. I'll tell you in just a second. Some of you probably already seen it elsewhere. Isaiah chapter, oh, by the way, Ocean Commotion. Let me mention that one more time. 5:30 to 8:30, Monday through Friday. Pray and invite. Say it. Pray and invite. Pray and invite. Pray and invite. That's what we need to do this week. Pray and invite. So looking forward, it's going to be a powerful week. It's based on a curriculum by Answers in Genesis, which I think is a really strong biblical curriculum. That's one of the reasons why I like this curriculum. So it's going to be a great week. And again, do me a favor and thank Ashley when you see her after the service. All right, so Isaiah chapter 53, it says this. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This passage, of course, is talking about Jesus. It is a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, about the Son of God, the Son of Man. Father, give us ears to hear and an obedient life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That same passage changed up in a little bit of a different, fresher, more fresh translation. I'm actually going to use, and I don't do it often, but I'm going to use the Message translation this morning. So that translation right there is the English Standard Version. But let's look at the same passage in a little bit of a different more contemporary look. It says, there was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. So the title of my message this morning is Jesus, You're Not Welcome Here. Uh-oh. Am I making a statement about Mountain Gap Church? No. I'm making a statement about the life of Jesus and how he was regarded in some people's lives. You'll see this in just a minute. In the book of Luke, I'm going to have all these scriptures on the screen this morning if you want to just follow along there. In the book of Luke, we're going to look at an incident in the life of Jesus. We're going to talk about some politics this morning, because politics is a hot topic, right? I don't talk politics, but it's okay. I'm not going to talk modern day politics. We're going to talk about pop culture or culture today, because those are always a hot topic as well. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever been somewhere and you just absolutely realized, I don't belong here? Right? It happens especially if you do a mission trip, depending on where you go. It happens. Unless you're going to Latin America and your name is Mariela. And she's from Colombia. But when I go to Central America, it's pretty obvious that I'm not from Colombia. It's kind of a giveaway, isn't it? But I can go to Europe and I can blend right in. Have you ever been somewhere where you just felt left out? I want you to think about that moment. I actually kind of want you to feel it again. Maybe it was as a kid. Maybe you were at the ball field, or you know, you were at PE and they were picking teams and you were the last one picked. Or maybe you walked into, maybe you and your family walked into a restaurant and you realized, wait a second, there's like a special event going on here and it's a private party only and I'm not supposed to be here. Or maybe you've traveled in a foreign country or place away from home and you just realized, I don't think I fit. One look at him and the people turned away. Have you ever considered that sometimes Jesus is not welcome? I've been thinking all week on this passage that I'm going to preach from in Luke 8. And as I really began to think about it toward the end of the week, it occurred to me that it's actually sort of a picture of the church. That there are some parallels with the church that we're going to see. Jesus, you're not welcome here. Now, I'm not saying that as a statement. I'm saying that because I want you to see where he's not welcome. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26, it says, they sailed on to the country of the Gerasenes, directly opposite of Galilee, and as he stepped out into land, or onto land, a madman from town met him. Just pause for a minute and get the picture in your mind. He's coming off of the boat, he steps onto the land, and there is a madman from town who meets him. He was a victim of demons. We don't like to talk about demons. We like to talk about angels, don't we? We love to talk about that time that angel protected me. I was almost in a car accident, and there was an 18-wheeler coming right at me, and I knew I was done for. And if it hadn't been for God and that angel that stepped in, I knew I would die. We love to tell those stories. We tend to shy away from these, don't we? But the reality is, and I want you to pause and not read anymore just for a minute. The reality is the influence and the work of demons is all around us. I've shared this before, I was talking with a friend of mine who, he's been at this church before. He was a missionary to South Africa. He was in our home when we lived in Northeast Georgia. And I said, Ben, I said, you guys see, you know, the demonic, you see deliverance, you see all of these things take place on the mission field in South Africa or in Central America or South America or wherever in Asia. Why don't we, what's going on with the American church? How are we missing that? And he looked at me and he convicted me with his words, and it really kind of made me mad because I felt really immature, because he was right. And he looked at me and he said, Rick, do you not see it? I was like, oh man, I failed this test. He said, just watch the news. Rape, murder, abuse, human trafficking. Do we not see it? The influence of the demonic is all around us. And what we want to, do you not see it? ISIS. Do we not see it? We want to pass laws and put people in the place of government positions, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but our hope is not in them. Our hope in the reality is that we're of a different kingdom, and it's his kingdom that needs to usher in and change the scene. Because as surely as you put XYZ in the White House, ABC is getting ready to happen to his life. Why? And because he's going to fail you. He's going to disappoint you. Our only hope is the King and the kingdom. So Jesus steps off the boat, and as soon as he steps off the boat, he's met with this demoniac, this man who's possessed by demons, and it says he hadn't worn clothes for a long time nor lived at home. He lived in the cemetery. Now check that, maybe it says in the tombs where in the version you're reading. But check this out. His residence was a place of death. Do you not see it? Do you not see the demonic all around us? It's really quite easy to see. He lived in the cemetery, and when he saw Jesus, he screamed, he fell before him, and he bellowed, "What business do you have messing with me? You're Jesus, Son of the Most High God, but don't give me a hard time." Jesus had already, in Luke chapter 8, demonstrated his authority over the wind and the waves. You can go back and read that story. Now Jesus is getting ready to demonstrate his authority over the demonic, over the spirit realm. He's getting ready to help us understand this man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, this man has all authority. The man is unclothed, he's alone, and he's alienated. You said something, Rick, about this being a picture of the church. Well, Jesus has a body called the church. And when we step into some places, we can expect to be confronted with and challenged with those who are possessed by demons. Do you not see it? It's all around. And it's real. The man had no will of his own. He was subject to the will of the demons. He was degraded as a castaway. He was isolated. And he was destroyed of any value or purpose. And he makes this statement. He says, "What business do you have messing with me? You're Jesus, Son of the Most High, a Son of the High God. But don't give me a hard time." I find it interesting. The man was possessed by a demon. The man was possessed by demons, plural. Right? You read that in your Bible. The man was possessed by demons, but watch this. When Jesus shows up, they feel threatened and they begin to speak in unity. "What business do you have messing with me?" You see, the demons are now, they've gone from plural to singular. And they're speaking with one voice because they realize that they're being confronted with the authority of heaven, with God's kingdom. So they rally around this one theme, "Jesus, don't mess with me." Now come on, if you can't see the church in the world today, it's all around us. "Jesus, don't mess with me. Church, don't mess with me. Don't mess." When we walk in the authority that God has given us, we can have expectation that we are going to be met with resistance that says, "Don't mess with me." And that resistance is going to come as one voice. That's what happened here. They begin to act in unity. They move from the plural to the singular. And there's a problem. A good friend of mine, and some of you have read his books, Paul's, Chris Maxwell. And he writes about how we all too often we live our lives in the singular and we need to move to the plural. What does that mean? Stand with me for a second. That means that I am locked arms with my brother here because I need him. Because I realize that this relationship, this connection as the body, as the army of God, is much stronger than me standing out here all by myself. Thank you, Randall. And so the demons go from plural to singular, and if we're not careful, we will live in the singular and we will miss the strength that we have in the plural. You see, there's strength when I'm connected with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But when I'm living in the singular, when it's just Rick and it's just Rick alone, I'm really weak. Can I just be honest with you? I am very weak all alone. And maybe I'm the only one in this room, but I really doubt it. And what I know is that I need brothers in my life. I need guys in my life that will say, "Rick, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to be with you." When it seems like all hell is breaking loose, you got to understand, Rick, I'm not going to abandon ship. And that gives me strength because I know I'm not living in the singular. I'm living in the plural. You see, the demons, I'm going to say it one more time, the demons were plural. And when they felt threatened, they They moved to the singular. They spoke with one voice. Don't mess with me. Don't give me a hard time. You see the singular? All too often, though, we're living our lives in the singular and we miss the plural. And what needs to happen is when we're confronted with the demonic, we need to move to the plural because there's strength in that. Amen? It goes on, the passage says, the man that said this because Jesus started to order the unclean spirit out of him. Time after time, the demon threw the man into convulsions. He had been placed under constant guard and tied with chains and shackles, but crazed and driven wild by the demon, he would shatter the bonds. Understand the picture. The demon threw the man into convulsions. The man had no control. They tried to tame him. How did they try to tame him? They locked him up. They tried to put him under guard. Understand what happened. I want you to get this because if you're thinking that, I really am just coming strong on this because I want the church to understand something. The church, capital C. If your hope is in some kind of legislation being passed that's going to make the kingdom go forward, you're going to miss it. Because what we're not confronting is flesh and blood, but what we're confronting is demonic, and it's of the spirit realm. And we have to understand that this man, driven by these demons, going into these wild convulsions, they did everything they could to hold him down, to restrain him. They would shackle him. They would put guards in front of him. What do we call that? We call that authority. I lock you up. I'm going to lock you down. So this man who is possessed with demons is locked down and he's got guards standing there. Do you understand what he's under? He's under governmental authority. And that authority can't control him. Because the governmental authority has nothing to do with the demonic. Am I saying step out of that? No, I'm not saying step out of that. But understand what our fight is against. Our fight is against the principalities and the powers in the wicked places of this world. We have got an enemy that is trying to subdue this kingdom with his kingdom. And when we try to engage the enemy with his tactics, you know what happens? The demons come out. They break free. Because why? Because they can't be held back by that. That's where we have to understand the authority of the king. Man was demon-possessed. He didn't need a chain. He needed a deliverer. He needed a deliverer. Jesus said, "What is your name?" Legion is what most translations say. This is the Message version says mob. Means the same thing. An army of 6,000. Mob. My name is Mob. Because many demons had afflicted him, and they begged Jesus desperately not to order them into the bottomless pit. It's the only place where we see Jesus engaging a demon and having a conversation with him. Do me a favor, and don't write out a theology based on this interaction. Okay? Jesus doesn't really need to know the name. So if you're confronted with demonic, there's no need for you to know the name of the demon. Because the authority that is in you through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if you got to know the name of the demon, then that name outweighs the authority that's in you. Amen. Do you understand how that works? Amen. If I got to know intel about the demon, I'm not pointing to anybody in particular, just everybody, okay? If I got to have intel about the demon, let me hit everybody, then that intel is superior to the authority that's working in my life. So this is the only incident where we see Jesus engaging a demon and asking, "What's your name?" Like he really needed to know. My name is Mob or Legion. Jesus' power isn't linked to knowing the name of the demon. Jesus' power is linked to his identity and who he is as the Son of God. Our identity, our authority is not linked to how many times you came to this altar. Our identity is linked to the identity of the Son who was born and died a sinless life and was raised again and is now victorious over sin and death. That's our authority. That's what we stand in. Amen. His name was a number. The demon sought to determine his own destiny. He cried out to Jesus. He said, the scripture says he begged him desperately not to order him into the abyss or to the bottomless pit. Verses 32 and 3, I got to hurry. A large herd of pigs were browsing and rooting on a nearby hill. The demons begged Jesus to order them into the pigs. He gave the order, or it says he gave permission. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It was even worse for the pigs than for the man. Crazed, talking about the pigs, they stampeded over a cliff and into the lake, and they drowned. Mark tells us there were about 2,000. About 6,000 demons and 2,000 pigs. It's a really bad day in the life of that farmer. If you're a pig farmer, you just watched a lot of life go down the hill. The ESV version, English Standard Version, says, so he gave them permission. Where it says he gave the order, it says so he gave the permission. What difference does that make? Here's what the difference makes. The demons would rather be sent to another host than go into the abyss. They would rather go to somewhere else than go to their eternal destiny. And so they made the request of Jesus, send us to those pigs. And so Jesus gives permission. That permission slip that he gave was exactly what was needed to substantiate and justify the healing of this man. You see, as a farmer, you're like freaking out. What? There goes my life for the next 10 years or 5 years. But that permission slip that Jesus gave was exactly what needed to take place, because now the swine, the pigs had rushed down the hill and they drowned. And so that caused something to happen in the community. Do you see what happens when the kingdom comes? When the church is walking in her authority, that's us. When we're walking in the authority of Jesus, it affects the economic outcome of other people's lives. The farmer couldn't have been happy. But Jesus changes things. Jesus changes things. We all like change, right? I heard a snicker. It's like the cartoon that says, it's a pastor standing up in front of his congregation. I just saw this recently, actually. I wish I could find it and had it for you, but pastor standing up in front of the congregation, and he says, who wants change? And all the people say, we do. And the pastor says, who wants to change? Silence. Verses 34 through 36, those tending the pigs, scared to death. Note that phrase right there, scared to death. That's called fear. Those tending the pigs scared to death. They bolted and they told their story in town and in country, and people went out to see what had happened. Do you understand? When the church is walking as she should be, people will be attracted because things won't be looking normal. Thank you, Patrice. Too many times we just look normal. I told the mission team when we went to Nicaragua, I said, don't think we're doing anything special. What we're doing is normal to the book of Acts. What we do in most Western Bible Belt culture is not normal. Come on, somebody give me an amen if you know it's true. When the church is walking as she should be, being who she should be, being the body of Christ, being the arms and the hand and the heartbeat of Jesus, it affects the community all around. So much so that some people will become afraid. Come on now. Anybody notice how they're trying to silence the church all around the world? It's not just the U.S. Legislation is taking place all around the world to silence the body of Christ. They came to Jesus and they found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet wearing decent clothes and making sense. Isn't that awesome what Jesus does? He makes people make sense. Come on now, we just need to pray. Jesus, they need some more of you because they ain't making a bit of sense. Am I right? Y'all know some people that just don't make sense. What are you thinking? That don't make any sense. You need some Jesus in your life. You got some demons that need to go have a bacon sandwich. Making sense. Y'all, I didn't even see that. I've read this, I don't know how many times. I didn't even see that when I was reading it. It was a holy moment. Making sense is a holy moment. There's some unholy people all around us, aren't there? Y'all don't make any sense. Not y'all. Your friends. It was a holy moment, and for a short time, and this is important, for a short time, they were more reverent than curious. And there are times in the life of the church where we have a moment, a slice, an opportune, a kairos moment, where the community around us will begin to take notice, will sit up and say, you know what? This is a holy moment. 9/11 was that way, right? Yes. We know that. And I don't believe for a minute that we have to have another something as to the scale of 9/11. It can be something small. It's a holy moment, and for a short time they were more reverent than curious. And then those who had seen it happen told how the demoniac had been saved. Here's the difference the kingdom makes. I want you to see these four things. I got one more passage and then we're done. Number one, instead of being driven by the demon, the man was sitting. Before, Luke tells us, and you can read about it in Matthew and Mark, Matthew 8, Mark 5. Luke tells us that the man was driven by a demon. Driven by a demon. Now he's sitting. He's taking up the posture of discipleship. You go through and you read the accounts of the people sitting at the feet of Jesus, and you'll see that those people were disciples. The second thing that happens is that instead of being without clothes, now he's dressed. Everybody said, thank the Lord for that. Number three, instead of being among the tombs, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Instead of being in a place of death and destruction and just total abandonment, isolated, all alone, he's sitting in the presence of a holy God. And he's receiving. That's the difference the kingdom makes. The fourth thing is this. Instead of being chained hand and foot under guard, he's in his right mind. There's no law. There's no lawyer. There's no political party. And there's no politician which can bring these type of changes. I told you I was going to talk about politics. So church, we have to arise in the authority with which we're given. Do you understand where I'm coming from? My heartbeat is that the church would be strengthened in their faith and walking in the authority of who they are. I talked about learning a lot about myself. Filter. It's not enough just to come to church and show up. There's more to it than this. The song we sang it, I think, last week, I Surrender. The song we sang More and More of You this week. In the final verses. Later. Everybody say later. Later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside, they got together and they asked Jesus to leave. Did y'all see that? Jesus, you're not welcome here. Jesus, you're not welcome here. Too much change. Too fast. And they were scared. Remember I told you earlier they were afraid? That theme the Dr. Luke tells us, because he wants us to really make sure that we don't miss this point. These people were living in fear. Too much change, too fast, and they were afraid. They were scared. So, Jesus got back in the boat and set off. The man whom he had delivered from the demons asked to go with him, but he sent him back saying, go home and tell everything God did in you. So he went back and he preached all over the town everything that Jesus had done. Jesus. They're trespassing. You're not welcome here. change. It's built into the kingdom. It is built in. You can't stay the same today. God wants you to grow in Him, in Christ. He wants your roots deeper, and He wants your fruit more abundant. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for your life. Change is scary for people, though. Here's what we know about change. It's good and it's bad. If you're a leader in any type of organization, you need to know this. Change is good and change is bad. What's that mean? It means it's good for some people and it's bad for others. Right? And when change happens, someone is going to be upset. Why is that? Because change affects us all. Do you see what happened in the picture there? A great many people from the Gerasene countryside, they got together. They realized, wait, this is affecting us all. They got the corporate mindset, which, by the way, the corporate mindset tends to go to the lowest common denominator. I should preach that another day. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The group mindset is this. There's 10 people, and we think we can... We'll take David's illustration. We got this piano, and we're going to move it with 6 people. Well, I don't know. Pastor says it's going to take 12. Okay, well, we'll do 12. But David, mighty man of faith that he is, and strength, knows that it can be done with 6. I don't know how many it's going to take. Okay, but I'm trying to use that as an illustration. Get the point. The point is this. When you're in a group, the mindset goes to the lowest common denominator. And so what happened in the community is Jesus causes an uproar. The pigs take a dive. And for a while, they're awed. They're reverent. Will you look at what happened? They're more reverent than they are curious. And then groupthink sets in. And groupthink takes us to the place where we come down in our thinking. Because then we're not thinking like, look at this. What would really happen if they had understood the Son of God was standing there in their midst, in their community? Hey, go get Carlos. Carlos he's been deaf all of his life. Let's see if Jesus can heal him. No. Jesus, you're not welcome here. What about A and B? They're married. And they've been having marital strife, and the law gets called on them all the time, and they're constantly fussing and fighting. What if they understood that the Son of God, who is there and able to cast out demons, who has the authority to heal the sick, what if they understood that Jesus was there in their midst? But you know what? It might cause too much change. So Jesus, you're not welcome here. Because groupthink set in. And groupthink always goes to the lowest common denominator. Here's the deal. The man is suffering. The man is suffering. The community was at risk because of evil. Do y'all see any parallels today? Y'all know anybody suffering? Do you see any community that's at risk because of evil? Just pick up the headlines or look on the Facebook page of the Pike County group this week, and you'll find out about human trafficking in our county. What? In Pike County? This is God's country. Well, guess what? Hell has invaded. And there's demonic influence all around us. The economic impact was real. But this man's evil possessed life was more valuable than the economic impact. The sad thing is this. They changed their change for a different kind of change. The man had a reputation, demon possessed, full of evil. Jesus steps off the boat. The man confronts him. What's your name? Legion. The man is, God's kingdom moves in and changes his life. The demons come out, they invade the pigs, they go off the cliff, they're in the water, they're dead. The man is sitting there at the feet of Jesus with clothes on, listening to him, and he's got some common sense about him. See what Jesus does? We need a whole dose of Jesus' common sense, don't we? The sad thing is, though, they changed their change for another change. And the other change that they got was they went from kingdom of God, Jesus the Son of God, all of his authority, they went to a place where now, let's see what the people think. You see what happened? They called Reuters and they took a public opinion poll. And CNN ran it across and said, you know what? People are really upset now because the pigs died. No more BLT. Just LT. And so the group determined that Jesus wasn't welcome here. And so they exchanged their change for another change. And they went from having a place of God's kingdom and God's influence and God's influence, rather not affluence if you thought that's what I said, but influence, and God's authority and God's person. They went from that to being subject to the spirit of man. That's a deadly place. Because you know why? Because the spirit of man doesn't welcome the kingdom. The spirit of man says, you know what? You're not here. So you know what Jesus does? Don't you know who I am? No. Jesus does what really we should probably learn from. Jesus takes off and he leaves. And it says, came to Jesus, found the man sitting. Demons had been sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes, making sense. It was a holy moment. Those who had seen it happen told how the demoniac had been saved. Go forward. Later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside got together. They asked Jesus to leave. Too much change, too fast, and they were scared. So Jesus got back in the boat, and he set off. Here's the deal, folks. Jesus won't hang around where he's not welcome. So when we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, are we ready? Are we ready to check out of the opinions of man and go with what God says and let his authority and his kingdom influence? Or does it just sound good on a song? We've seen this take place in our own lives. You see it in your workplace, perhaps. A new directive comes down, a new policy or a new something. And so we set ourselves up as authority and judge. That'll never work. What are they thinking? And suddenly we have groupthink. And groupthink goes to the lowest common denominator. And suddenly everybody else is saying, you know what, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. We see it. We see it in our workplace. Those of you who lead people, you see it because you have to fight against it sometimes, right? A scripture, and I'm going to be closing. Just Tyler, can you come on up? I'm going to close. And this passage has really just been something I've gone back to a lot, probably in the last year, just kind of thinking on it. I don't have it for you on the screens. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says this. I'm going to read it slowly and carefully because I want you to think about what we just heard in light of this. Paul says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man?" I'm so glad that Paul wrestled with this because it's helping me. Because I know Rick. If I were still trying to please man, he says, I would not be a servant of God. I'll read it again. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Ask yourself that question. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of God. The sad thing is, Jesus left. I have to believe that there were some people with some sense. I know that the demoniac who was healed, he actually reflects our heart. And I want to take us there and end it with this, because this is where I want to go. He reflects the heart of a lot of us, because he says, Jesus, let me just come with you. Let me go with you. I just want to stay here in your presence. Jesus, I know you're leaving. I want to go with you. I just want to be with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, no. You have an assignment. You need to go back and tell what took place. You see, there's a place, there's a time when we come here and we seek the face of the Lord. When hopefully, and I am praying for worship to arise in our midst. I am praying for the worshipers to arise. What do you mean, Rick? Do you not think we're worshiping? I just want to see the climate of worship just go deeper. I want to see it more people. Honestly, I want to see more people on their faces. Are you looking for measurable? I want to see hunger. Okay, maybe you're hungry. I just don't know it. I don't need you to perform it for me. If you think I'm wrong in this, then talk to me privately. But I don't think it's wrong for me to pray that worship will intensify and increase in the midst. Just like when I was kneeling down here earlier, I was going through everything. I put it all down there. I put youth ministry down there. I put PBS down there. I put finances down there. I put electric bills down there. I put everything down there. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe you need to do that in your own heart and in your own life for those things that are near and close to you. I needed to do it. Because I know that I've been carrying those things in my heart and I don't need to. So maybe you need to. And you don't have to do it here. Do it at home. Just do it. But I'm praying that our worship will become more, I hate the word intense, because that sounds like I'm looking for volume and response. I just want to see a hunger. I want to see God's people hungry for more of them. Thank you, Jennifer, for leading us off the page this morning. I just believe there's going to be more songs that the Lord gives her as she leads us in worship. The song of the Lord is going to come forth. So Jesus checks out of the scene, because Jesus won't hang around where he's not welcome. You stand with me this morning. Pray for us. Ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. It's late, and I'm not going to prolong this very long, because I want to honor the time. We have VBS training back here tonight at 5:00. Local Church Admin Council meeting at 3:30. 3:30 for LCAC. VBS training, all hands on deck, 5 p.m. Let me pray this. Jesus, I pray that you're always welcome in our midst. I pray that we're not trying to win the approval of men, but only God. I pray that we will be servants of God Most High. We will honor him with our thoughts, our time, our talent, our treasure, everything that we have, God. Be yours, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And we truly need more and more of you. That's my prayer. It probably says it best, that we will encounter more and more of you. Jesus, may we not just get a little slice, a little segment of your presence and think, well, that was great. Let's move on to the next thing. Jesus, I pray that you will be invited into our midst. We'll see the miraculous. We'll see the demonic set free. We'll see those who are hurting healed. We'll see those who are living with struggle and sin patterns in their life. That we'll see those broken off their life. But Lord, that we won't just stay in a place where we get bored with it. But Lord, we'll stay in that place, like it says about the crowd, of reverence. Lord, I pray that curiosity won't creep in. And then it becomes mundane. Help us to fear you, the holy, reverent fear. What you want to do in our lives. And I thank you that you create us for purpose. You have an assignment and a destiny for each of us. I want to ask you quickly, with every head bowed and eye closed, real quickly, I want to ask you to slip up a hand if you would say to me this morning, Pastor Rick, there's been times in my life where I've said, Jesus, you're not welcome here. I'm not going to single you out. I want to pray for you, really. And if that's you, would you just slip up a hand and just let me know, just, Jesus, there's been times in my life where I've said, you're not welcome. Thank you. Thank you. So God, you know the heart of every person. Those hands that were lifted, Lord, that's a place of beauty and purity, I believe, right now. And your spirit is encountering them. And I pray, first of all, Lord, they've got to ask for forgiveness. But Lord, I know that your word says that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so, Lord, I ask right now that in any place in our life where we've said, either with our words or our actions, Jesus, you're not welcome here. If we've demonstrated that, if we've said that, forgive us, Lord. And let us walk in the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. And let us walk in his holiness. And Lord, I pray that you also help us to walk in relationship with others. Move us from the place of singular thinking to the place of plural thinking, where we understand we need one another. We've got to have one another. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for your strength. Strengthen every person with the resolve, just a holy determination. I'm not going to say, Jesus, you're not welcome here anymore, because Jesus, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, you come in and you heal as many as you want. Jesus, you come in and break the chains off as many as you want. Jesus, you come in and disrupt our calendar and our thinking and our lunch plans. Jesus, you come in and just wreak havoc on what we think, and let your kingdom come and be established in our midst. Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. Will you say that with me, church? Jesus, you are welcome here. Here.
Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.